Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this, the 21st day of March 2025. And indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance, and it's the last week. It's Pledge Week, Pledge Week, Pledge Week, the last day. Voice, we got to hit it hard, folks. We really need to hear from you tonight. We have to finish strong. Back there in the phone booth, we have pastors of mighty men, Eric and Aaron. They're in the glass cage. That's where we keep him. We're keeping that big old guy right on our board, our producer, Seth.
Good evening. Good evening.
Good evening. Here live in the studio, here we have the Elder Barkley.
Good evening, good evening. Jesus is Lord.
And we have the studio marm, none other than Little Lisa.
Good evening, everyone.
Already. Now, way out yonder. Well, first of all, we're going to have Miss Wendy Wilson, the herbal marm, the nature lady. The rose between all the thorns here tonight on the program. Are you there, Wendy?
I'm here, Pastor. Good evening.
Good evening. And I've been having a little problem with my ears, so you folks are going to have to speak up tonight. You got to really speak up. And way out there in Texas, he's definitely not the Yellow Rose of Texas, but he is Big John the Baptist McTernan.
That's an original, Pastor Ernie. You're right. I'm not the Yellow Rose, but God bless you, Pastor Ernie, all our listeners, and may God bless the show that is really, really a good one tonight.
Yeah, let's really go for it. We have a whole lot to do. We're going to pick it up where we left off in our Bible study, and that was in Hebrews chapter 13, and we left off in the verse 12. Wherefore, let's take it verse at a time, you, so that'll give John time to get to his mechanical Bible, okay? And so we'll go through it a verse at a time. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Boy, now that has a lot of meaning there, to suffer without the gate. What's he talking about here? With outside the gate is where you had all the lepers. If people had lepers or any kind of a disease, that was considered to be sin. That was considered to be sin. So they had to remain outside the camp. Leviticus 13:46. Anybody that was convicted of blasphemy, they were stoned with outside the camp. Leviticus 24:14. Anyone that ignored God's Sabbath rest were also stoned without the cap. Numbers 15:35. The bodies of all the animals slain and sacrificed for sin of the people likewise had to be burned without the camp. And that was in 13:11. Therefore, Jesus, upon whom was laid the whole sin of the world, John 1:29, had to suffer and die without side the gate. Right here, verse Hebrews 13:13. Hebrews 13:12. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Who was looking for that city to come? Remember? In chapter 11.
Abraham, Jeff, Ernie.
Pardon?
Abraham.
Absolutely. Is where all the ancient patriarchs we should be looking for. That was right. That was in Hebrews 11:10, huh?
Yeah, and Pastor Ernie, what's really interesting, when you read like the accounts of Abraham, I don't see any link to him looking for the New Jerusalem. But Hebrews' commentary on it said that he did, that that was like his motivation, that was his driving force here, the God's city, you know, made without hands, the New Jerusalem.
Yeah. So here's, because it's like this big gap, no place does it say that God had told Abraham that there was going to be this
right.
city.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But then, obviously, he did, you know, because Abraham was looking for that city.
Yeah.
Right.
And so, he goes on to say, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And so when you take about your sacrifice, you talk about your sacrifice of praise, you know, we no longer have animal sacrifices, although that's going to start up again there in Israel. And that'll happen during the tribulation period, won't it?
Mm-hmm.
And then here, but right now today, our sacrifices are like it says here. We sacrifice the fruit of our lips of praise, worship, also service, also our tithes, huh?
Yeah.
Those are the sacrifices that we have today. He goes on to say, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. So, of course, that's service, right? The sacrifice of service. Now here we go, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. John, I think I see the Pauline signature all over this book of Hebrews. I know it's a big question of who is the writer of Hebrews? But a lot of people think Barnabas. For some reason, there are those out there that believe that Barnabas was. I see, again, but there's some little differences in this book than in the other books that Paul wrote. What do you think?
I'm convinced, Pastor Ernie, that Paul wrote it because of the tremendous depth of understanding of bringing, like, the Old Testament scriptures in to the New Testament here. You had to be like a genius, whoever wrote it.
Well, obviously, it was a real Jewish scholar there. Paul definitely was, out of all of the apostles, the most learned. And so,
I can't think of it now, but in Hebrews, it does mention that he's in prison.
Yeah, well, that would be in verse 3 of Hebrews 13. Remember them that are in bonds as bonds with them, which also suffer, of them which suffer adversity as being yourself also in the body. And yeah, that does sound exactly like Paul, huh?
Yeah.
And so let's ask Wendy because she's smart. What do you think, Wendy?
I don't know. Well, I think Paul. I know he was considered the least of all the disciples, right?
Well, he by himself
he considered himself the least, right?
He humbled himself in the sight of the Lord. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I mean, his path was just so profound. What he did prior to coming to know the Lord, and then what he was doing afterwards. I think his writings really shine, maybe even more so than the others.
I would say, well, he wrote more books than the others, and mm-hmm. I would say he definitely was the scholar there.
He has more. I don't know, his sayings are so profound, you know? Like, wasn't he the disciple who said, I've learned to be satisfied with and without, in season and out of season?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, that's in Philippians chapter 4.
Yeah, but his humility did shine through. It really did.
You know, I think McTurnan's going to say something profound tonight. He usually does.
I'll think hard, Pastor Ernie, and I'll be very, not profane, but profound.
Well, you know, Paula White says that the Apostle Paul wasn't much of a preacher. I heard her say it. She was prancing back and forth across the stage saying, honey, if you can't get a set in 30 minutes, you ain't much of a preacher.
Wow. Huh?
I guess that includes me because it takes me more than 30 minutes on Sunday morning, right? So,
well, you know, that sounds like, you know, what novelists say, you know, like the best writers say what they have to say with as little words as possible.
Yeah.
So I think that's where she was getting that.
Well, when she says, I've got hips and I've got lips, I know how to work these hips and I know how to work these lips, that's something that John McTurnan would never say.
Yeah, you could take that one to the bank.
I'm so glad.
You could take that one to the bank.
Yes, that's absolutely true. See, you'll hear things here that you may never hear anywhere else, right? Yeah. So, all right.
It seems like you're gearing up for me tonight.
I get so much commentary from people about the back and forth you and I have. They want to know which one of us is the straight guy. But anyhow, it does. And I mean that in the old sense of the word. You know, the comedians they used to have, like Abbott and Costello and Dean Martin and Jerry, you'd have one guy would be the straight guy and straight meant something different than it does, you know, today.
You gotta clarify that.
yeah, boy, they've been fooling with the words, haven't they? But anyhow, and this next verse is a very, very important verse. Mm-hmm. Obey them that have the rule over you.
Mm-hmm.
Submit yourself, for they watch for your souls, as they must give account that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Now, are we not, Elder, are you and John and I, are we not held to a much higher standard?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Okay. So here, God has placed us in charge of his flock. Now, here, what people don't understand is this, that this verse is as much in play today as it ever was.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why we pray for, like, President Trump, that he has wise counsel. Real men of God, real men of God around him. And I noticed that he had in that picture that we had here, there were about 20 pastors that were surrounding him, laying hands on him and praying over him. There was a blonde woman in that, but I don't think it was Paula White. Okay, I hope not, because that would be... That is not wise counsel, okay?
No.
And Trump's a pretty smart guy, he would think, especially the way that he has been betrayed, you know, and walking into a snake pit. He should know that. Anyhow, I think we're going to stop right there for tonight. We have a lot to get to up there. And so with that, you know what? We're going to switch right over. I got to make some announcements real fast. Announcements are, one, let me see. Oh, church service announcements. Church service, Doers of the Word Baptist Church at 14781 Sperry Road in Newberry, Ohio. We got to give the phone lines. We haven't given the phone numbers out yet. My gosh. Yeah. This is pledge week, and we're into it 20 minutes and haven't given the numbers out. It's 866-525-0955. 866-525-0955. The guy's back there in the phone booth are shaking the phone at me. or 216-901-0933. 216-901-0933. Or the credit card number is 888-281-1110. 888-281-1110.
Pastor?
Yes, ma'am.
I sent my pledge off today, so put me down for 900.
All right. Wow. All right. That's a good start. 900?
Mm-hmm. Oh, Wendy.
Okay. So, where'd Seth go? Is Seth in there? Get her down for 900, Seth. Miss Wendy Wilson.
And maybe somebody can match that.
You know what? Right. Every time you've done that, you've said that somebody has matched you, no matter how much you... So let's see if Wendy's magic is still working tonight.
Yeah.
Folks out there, we need a match for Wendy for 900. So who will be the match for Wendy for 900? If you're a match for Wendy for 900, I'll arrange a date with either Big John McTernan or Randall right here. Now, if you're a woman, that is. We do things. No, only kidding, folks. Only kidding. I wouldn't do that to anyone who was generous to the ministry.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. Very good. Oh, we got to move. I got to get these announcements made. All right. Doors of the Word Baptist Church, 14781 Sperry Road in Newberry, Ohio. We start out with an in-depth prayer meeting at 9 a.m. We really get into the scripture big time. And then at 10 p.m., we get into a real solid prayer. And that goes anywhere from 10 o'clock all the way up to almost 11:30 times. And then the evening service is at 5 p.m. On Tuesday, we have our pro-life witnessing at 1 p.m., and that's in front of Planned Predators, the most wicked, evil, ungodly, creeping, crawling purveyor of death on God's green earth. That'll be out at 1:30 p.m., or 1 p.m., rather, and that's going to be at the corner of Route 43 and Rockside Road in Bedford Heights. And then on Wednesday night, we have a film series, and the film series on the rapture of the church. It's a very good series. Starts at 7 p.m., and I'm planning on being there this at least for a period of time this week here. So come on out and say hi. Thursday, March 27th, at 10:30 a.m., property tax protest. There's a property tax protest at the County Administrative Building, and that's at East 9th Street and Prospect. The address is 2079 East 9th Street. For more information, go to reformpropertytax.com. That's reformpropertytax.com. Okay, we got all that done. Get all those announcements in. And with that, we're going to take a quick break. Be right back.
He made the ground, the mountains high and the earth round.
And I saw God become a man and hung upon a cross by love.
The Ancient of Days came to teach us his ways.
Give him all your love, give him all your praise.
Hanging on a cross there, he took my place because of love.
Can't see him with your eyes, touch him with your hands. The Son of God became a man, strong enough to change the heart of any man. This man called love. He will lift you up, he won't let you down. Take your broken life, turn it all around. Ever since time, nothing's ever been found stronger than love.
Some men are like me, don't question or doubt.
Strengthen their faith day in and day out.
Sins all forgiven, all blotted out. The man called love. Then I see how I've been blessed.
Got a home in heaven, the very best.
Then I know by God this world was blessed. The man called love.
Can't see him with your eyes, touch him with your hands. The Son of God became a man, strong enough to change the heart of any man. This man called love. He will lift you up, he won't let you down. Take your broken life, turn it all around. Ever since time, nothing's ever been found stronger than love. Can't see him with your eyes, touch him with your hands. The Son of God became a man, strong enough to change the heart of any man. This man called love. He will lift you up, he won't let you down. Take your broken life, turn it all around. Ever since time, nothing's ever been found stronger than love.
All right. Potentate, A Man Called Love. You know, that song, when I wrote that, that was the real Joe Clark, the real Joe Clark that was in that with me. And so he... this fellow I knew for many, many years, former Marine, and one of the most talented people I've ever met on the Internet. I mean, this guy could do things with computers that nobody else could do. And Joe was a real good, godly man. But you know what happened? He and we, none of us could figure it out. He took the shot, and it killed him. He took the shot and it killed him. But I know one thing. He's in heaven now. He's like,
it's one of the numbers.
So we miss you out there, big fella. All right, what do we got here now? Okay. Folks, we wanted to tell you that the new number is 866-252-0955. 888-677 is not working. People are still calling the old number. It's still broke, okay? And we don't know what's going on with that yet. But the numbers tonight is 866-525-0955. That's 866-525. That's 866-525-0955. Or 216-901-0933. Or 888-281-1110. So, again, the old number is not working. So don't call that 888-677 number, right? And we're back. And with that, Wendy, what do you have for us tonight?
Well, I thought I'd let you pick the topic. I couldn't remember if did we cover the medical test issue? The medical test exposure?
I
do so many shows, I can't remember. you know. Or we could do the root problem to autoimmunity. We can, either one of those.
All right, let's do, we have a lot to cover tonight, so let's get it done. And McTernan doesn't know anything about either one of those. So whichever one you do, it'll work.
Well, let's do the medical test because, you know, a lot of people are getting them.
Is that
I might know much, but I'm all ears listening, I'll tell you that.
All right, very good.
Okay, well, let's get her done then. So it appears that, you know, claims the medical science is making, you know, they state about their tests, they're harmless, there are very little and no risk to patients. Well, that information is now being exposed. When I was working at the Charlotte Memorial Hospital in the 1980s, I had a conversation with a repair tech working on a mammogram machine. I was coming back from break, and I wanted to confirm, you know, the radiation coming off this machine was nothing really to be worried about. But I never got a mammogram myself, but I did have family members that were getting them every year. So the tech was emphatic about his response. He said the radiation is equal 700 chest x-rays.
Wow.
A single chest x-ray, we're told, is 0.1 millisieverts, or MSVs, which science states equals about 10 days' worth of natural radiation. So millisieverts measure the amount of radiation absorbed by your body. So if the technician was right, this would mean that a mammogram gives the patient about 70 millisieverts, and that exceeds the annual limit a human should be exposed to and even exceeds the occupational limits of exposure. So what other tests does medicine use that can substantially add to your radiation exposure or put patients at risk of getting a disease? Well, the tests, according to the University of California Medical School in San Diego, they said the medical establishment often uses tests to identify cancer, but can actually contribute to getting or exacerbating cancer. Here's a quote from their study, and this was a study that they conducted from 2009, and it's still ongoing today. They said, computerized tomography, or your CT scan, uses x-rays to create detailed image of the body to diagnose or monitor diseases like cancer. There is little to no regulation of the scanners, and radiation levels emitted and exposure can vary from machine to machine. Now, that's interesting. You would have thought it's highly regulated, right, Pastor?
I would have thought so, yes.
Well, here's another quote from them. They said, we estimated high doses of radiation from CT scans that were responsible for 2% of all cancers or 30,000 cases per year, end of quote. Your CT scan can give you cancer is what that means. So the scans can save lives, of course, from trauma cases with, you know, internal bleeding, head injury, gunshot wounds, etc. However, the monitoring of conditions with these scans can make the situation worse. Working for a neurologist that I did 4 years ago, the overuse of CT scans and MRI scans was pretty prevalent within neurology. Hospitals would entice physicians who had privileges at more than one hospital. They wanted to entice them to send the patients to their facility for them to get their scans, and then the doctor would get a kickback. So the average size neurology clinic of four or more physicians raise an extra six figures per physician just in kickbacks. So therefore, it's an underestimated statement that the scans were overprescribed in your healthcare. So the other element that plays into unnecessary tests are that these becomes a liability factor for the physicians themselves. Doctors would rather be safe than sorry, and they'll send it for a scan just to hopefully avoid a lawsuit. Here's another quote from the study at Rebecca Smith Biden.
Wendy, I got to break in for just a minute and say that John in Ohio pledges 25. Thank you, John. And those phone lines are open at 866-525-0955. That's 866-525-0955 or 216-901 or 0933. 216-901-0933. Or the call in the credit card line is 888 281-1110. I'm sorry, Wendy, go ahead.
Okay, so this is a quote from Rebecca Smith Bideman. As she's a medical doctor at University of California Medical School, she says, it's unfathomable, she says, that we keep doing more and more CTs and the doses keep going up. Between two machines, one could be exposing patients to 10 to 15 times higher radiation doses than another. To clarify, there is very large variation, and the doses vary by an order of magnitude of tenfold, not 10%. So for patients seen for the same clinical problem, and they get monitored by CT scans, this is high doses of radiation. Now, they said they're unmeasured amounts. That's the problem. Until they did this study, there had been no measurements conducted in the field of use on the amount of radiations patients were exposed on these machines. So the reported amounts were assumed correct from the manufacturer of the scan machine. So according to the IMV, a medical market research company, roughly 93 million scans are done in the United States every year. Here's a quote from the University of California Medical School. They said, looking at radiation exposure, which varied widely, the average dose ranged from 2 millivolts for a head CT scan to 31 millivolts for an abdominal or pelvic CT scan. Checking doses of radiation on CT scans in four different hospitals, there was a 13-fold difference between the highest and lowest dose for each scan type. That's a lot.
Boy, it sure is.
There's no regulation on this equipment. They go on to say the research shows that one in 8,100 women and one in 11,000 men who have a routine head CT scan at 40 years of age will develop cancer from that scan. For patients in their 20s, the risks were about doubled.
Well,
so what are the kinds of cancers that they found that a patient can get from these types of scans? There's a list. I'll read it to you. This is also from the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission. Here's the list. Leukemia, breast cancer, colon cancer, bladder cancer, stomach cancer, ovarian cancer, lung cancer, and liver cancer. So this research really has prompted a more thorough examination of the radiation emissions from these scans, and the new regulations they hope will help to monitor the risks and should include fines for any maker of the scans who produce high radiation risks for their product. So, I mean, nobody was checking behind these people who made this equipment. Nobody's, you know, where's the watchman on the wall, right?
Well, you're right, and see, this is where, you know, the medical association in this country has taken a real shot with its credibility. People do not trust, they don't trust the government anymore, but they don't trust the medical because of, and I think that the main thing was the COVID, the kill shot, but then when that came out and people started looking closely, then they find out, wait a minute, you know, there's so many other areas where, they're messing up. So many other areas where it's only about the money. It's about making money, not about the health of the people. And so, boy, that's very interesting.
Well, medicine has a good side. You know, trauma care is really important. You need that. But, there are some areas that really fall short, and people are harmed by that. I hope Kennedy and his team, Robert Kennedy Jr., can, you know, really dive in and get some things straightened out there.
He can do it if they keep those judges off him, right, John? There's where we have one of the major problems in this country, is this lawfare. And when you've seen what they've done with President Trump going back, where all these corrupt judges that they're using, and they're still doing that. They're bringing them out. They go judge shopping. And somehow, we got to put a stop to that. But I don't trust the Supreme Court and being very helpful on that. What do you think, John?
Yes, Pastor Ernie, it's this here, if you notice, all these decisions are made by Democrat-appointed judges. You never hear a Republican doing it, and it's always against, like, basically Trump now. So you could see this in operation. They're not hiding it. They have no scruples. They're bought off. They're probably bribed. There's a whole system funneling money to them, I'm sure, Pastor Ernie. But they are the lowest of the lowest now. But the good thing is they're really being exposed in a big way. I think that's really good, Pastor.
They're doing that to themselves more and more, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. And they don't back up. They get worse as they're exposed, as Trump's exposing them, they're getting worse.
Well, I mean, but they've got to be prosecuted. I mean, he's got to go after these people. Now, you know, it looks like all of this stuff with Biden had done, given all these preempt pardons, it doesn't look like, that's going to go anywhere, even though, as you know, Trump, you know, they did it, you know, not by signature, you know, by that automatic pin, auto pin, or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
But what's happening, the way the law is written, the president has so much leeway where it comes to giving pardons. I mean, he can just, actually say in a sentence, I pardon you, okay? So I don't know. It would be really nice if we could get a good decision, but I don't think we're going to get a real strong decision from the Supreme Court on that. What do you think?
Well, Pastor Ernie, we're going to have to get support from the Speaker of the House and the Leader of the Senate. I mean, these judges have to be, and the one that has the power to do it is Congress. So they have to be taken head on. Their power has to be stripped away from them, and they've got to be put back in the cage that the Constitution really has them in, Pastor Ernie. The Constitution greatly limits the judicial system. They've expanded it on their own without authority, and the presidents and the House and Congress have not stopped them. They've allowed them to do it.
I know, and now I know that Congress, the Senate and the House has the power. Do you think they have the willpower?
A few do, Pastor Ernie, a few do. But look, the country's at stake. These people, these judges and the Democrat Party would run us right into the ground and destroy us if they want to do it two ways, with Trump or without Trump. they're bent on destroying the country. With Joe Biden in power, it was pedal to the metal. Now that Trump is there, they want to stop his agenda and destroy us again. So we have no choice. We got to stop them. The House and the Senate has to stop them, Pastor.
Well, I know Trump is full steam ahead. He's going to fight this, even if he has to use the military. The thing of it is the only way Congress and the Senate, the House and the Senate, are going to move is if we build a fire under their feet. I mean, that's it. The people in America, you folks out there listening to me, you have to build a fire under their feet. They have to hear from you in no uncertain terms, okay? Because, again, this is our country. Think about your children. Trump is not perfect. The only perfect man that ever walked the earth is coming back someday here. But he's, in my lifetime, he's doing as good a job as any. Even better, I think, than President Reagan. What do you think, John?
Yeah, Pastor Ernie, Reagan functioned more in the system. And Trump is, like, outside of the system, pounding away at it, dismembering it, demolishing it. So back in Reagan's day, you could work in the system, but not anymore, Pastor Ernie.
Well, even back in his day, he had the deep state. I remember when they asked him who his VP was going to be, because they kept asking if it was going to be George Bush, and he said, I can tell you it's not going to be George Bush. He was talking about Gerald Ford as his VP. Then they had the meeting with all the big wigs that came in, the big bankers and all the big money people, and it ended up being Daddy Bush.
And Bush was a deep state pastor, Ernie.
I know that, but it wasn't very long within Reagan's term where he ran into that Hinckley fella. Okay, that was
I remember that. I think I was in high school, and they wheeled him over to the hospital, and before they put him under anesthesia, he asked the surgeon if he was a Republican or Democrat.
Yeah, that's true, he did. Reagan had what a good sense of humor, did he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I still laugh at his jokes.
When I was growing up, they always had military on the border.
I come across some of Reagan's jokes, and he's really funny.
Oh, yeah. He had quite a personality. He was very sharp, very, very witty. Reagan was very witty. What did you say about the border, Wendy?
I was just wondering, when I was growing up, they always had military on the border. Did Trump move military to the border?
Yeah, he is moving military to the border. Yep.
Okay, good.
And, we need to do that. We've got to stop in these, again, we've got to stop these rogue judges. They've got to be stopped. You know, if you look, lawfare is not a new thing. Remember, that's how they prosecuted the Lord Jesus Christ. They used lawfare, the corrupt judges in that of his day. Again, we have to go. We have to stand up. The people have to make a lot of noise. All right, Andrea in Ohio pledges 60. Thank you, Andrea. That number again is 866-525-0955. 866-525-0955. 216-901-0933. Or the credit card line is 888-281-1110. All right, you have an article there, Randall.
Yes, sir. It says, this week, the Trump administration, this is about the JFK files, this week, the Trump administration released tens of thousands of documents regarding the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. Speculation about the real explanation for JFK's assassination has been an enormous cottage industry for decades. As of November 2023, a Gallup poll showed that 65% of Americans believe that people other than Lee Harvey Oswald were involved in the murder. At no point since the assassination have a majority of Americans believed the truth that Oswald was a lone gunman. Perhaps that's because the idea of a lone gunman achieving such a high-profile assassination on camera in the modern age seems so unthinkable. But of course it isn't. William McKinley was assassinated by a lone gunman in 1901. Teddy Roosevelt was shot in the chest in 1912 while campaigning for president. In 1933, FDR narrowly escaped assassination when Giuseppe Zangara fired five shots at him, killing the mayor of Chicago. Gerald Ford was nearly assassinated twice in a three-week stretch in 1975. John Hinckley Jr. Shot Ronald Reagan just a few weeks into Reagan's presidency in 1981. And of course, Donald Trump was nearly assassinated during a campaign speech last year. In other words, presidential assassinations are shockingly common. So why are Americans convinced, despite all available evidence, that others were involved in the JFK assassination? Much of it has to do with the rapidly declining levels of trust in the American government since the 1960s. While only 52% of Americans believe in a JFK conspiracy theory in 1963, an idea fostered by legacy media, which has claimed that he had been killed by right-wing hate by 1976, that number has skyrocketed to 81%. That trend correlates with the radical increase in distrust in government generally. In 1964, some 77% of Americans said that they trusted the government to do the right thing always or most of the time. By 1976, that number had dropped to 35%. As of 2024, by the way, that number is 22%. Now, distrust of government is a perfectly normal and even admirable feature of American political life dating back to the founding. The founders distrusted government not to abuse the rights of individuals and thus sought checks and balances to prevent it from occurring. But since the 1960s, American distrust of government has been matched by a massive expansion of governmental intrusion, all of which suggests that our modern distrust of government carries with it a different flavor, a flavor of conspiratorial or conspiracies. The founders believed that ambition was common to all men and that ambition thus had to counteract ambition. Today's Americans instead believe that the problem is that our government is staffed uniquely by bad men.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of them there for sure. And that's because they were tolerated. All right, we wanted to say that Vicky in Colorado pledges 150 and Praise the Lord of Ohio pledges 100. Last night, the very last call came in last night was Praise the Lord. But I'm not sure what state that was in. She pledged 1,000. And so the last call last night was 1,000. The first call today was Wendy, and she's of 900. So if we could get a match for either the last Praise the Lord last night, or if we can get a match for Wendy's 900. So far, Wendy, every time you've done that, you've been matched. I'm hoping that it'll be matched again tonight.
Praise the Lord, we will.
Amen. I hope so. Yep. Thank you so much. All right. And then we just had Praise the Lord of Ohio for 100. Thank you. Thank you.
All right.
All right. Those numbers are 866-525-0955, 216-901-0933, or 888-281-1110. With all these new pages, you know, I've been going through some of them. In fact, we have some of it here. With the assassination there. Mm-hmm. You know, here's what I've believed on this thing. Kennedy, first of all, he wanted to take out Castro. Castro was a real thorn. Mm. Castro was working with Khrushchev. I mean, those two, remember the missile crisis? Mm. But the real people, the guy who I think that was involved with this, all three of them, was LBJ. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, because of some of the things, the programs we've done and some of the evidence. So what do you think, John?
Well, Pastor Ernie, there was a whole bunch of people that wanted to take him out. LBJ, because Bobby Kennedy was hot on him for a crime in Texas. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Billy Celestes?
Oh, yeah.
And then you had the guy, Dulles, from the CIA. Kennedy fired him and for the Bay of Pigs, and you had a whole litany of people in the CIA, including Dulles, that wanted to take him out. And Hoover... Hoover's another one that wanted him. The oil companies wanted him. I'm trying to think of, because he wanted to change the tax system. He wanted a tax system for the oil companies done away with, because they were making huge profits. And Kennedy wanted that altered. And that's just off the top of my head. I mean, there was all sorts of people that wanted to take him out, Pastor Ernie.
Kind of sounds like today with President Trump, huh?
Yeah, exactly right. I can remember I was 15 years old when Kennedy was assassinated, and I didn't know that much about politics then. I cared about sports and my dog. But anyways, I can remember my family saying, LBJ did it. LBJ did it. Hoover and LBJ. No one ever, not one person thought it was Oswald by himself, that it was the CIA, FBI, LBJ. And as I got a little older, I doubted it. But then the more I thought about it, yeah, it wasn't. If Oswald may have been in on it, but there was more to it than that.
Well, and that report comes out. It looks like Oswald and Jack Ruby had been seen together about a week prior to the assassination. They had met together, and it was decided that I guess that Oswald was a throwaway. The other thing that they talked about was that Oswald was actually a poor shot. But then you didn't have to be a
Russian said.
Pardon?
But here's Pastor Ernie. Here's a way that I think we can prove that this whole thing was phony, you know, that Oswald did it by himself. Where is Kennedy's brain?
Where is his brain?
Yeah.
Good question.
Yeah. They did a brief autopsy in Dallas, and then his body was flown to the Navy, one of the Navy hospitals there, and I just can't think of it, in Washington. They did the autopsy. The FBI was there along with all sorts of military people in the room where the autopsy was being performed. And all of a sudden, his brain disappeared.
Very interesting.
Hey, Pastor.
Yes,
Pastor,
ma'am.
I saw one of those coffee table books at a bookstore once, and it was about Robert Kennedy, right?
Uh-huh.
And it was a picture of him and the First Lady. They had just came off the airplane at Dallas. This is right before he's assassinated. Photographer kind of zoomed in on Johnson and his wife standing probably about 15 feet away, right? So the president and Jacqueline Kennedy, they were kind of blurry, but you could see clear as a bell Johnson, and his face looking at the president had just a look of contempt on it.
Well, we had that Mrs. Brown. You remember her, John, on the program years ago.
Oh, yeah. She was Johnson's favorite lady, I guess.
Well, she was his mistress, and she said that when she sat outside the library door, we're coming up to a break, so maybe we'll have to pick this up later, but on the other side, we have a very good clip coming up. Both of you want to hear this one. You don't want to miss it. Be back right after this with more. Don't go away.